This is Hometown Heroes. Honoring everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and a fascinating conversation with World War II bomber pilot Bob Austin, who was born on Oahu 93 years ago. He's called Oakhurst, California home for the better part of 30 years. If you're a ham radio enthusiast, perhaps you know him by his call sign, Kilo Charlie 6 Echo Zulu Echo. Yep, he's still at it, and he also happens to be one of just a few thousand American airmen who were airlifted out of Croatia by a secretive program called the ACRU, Air Crew Rescue Unit of the 15th Air Force. It began in late 1944 as the brainchild of the OSS, the predecessor of the CIA. It had to stay under wraps so as not to compromise the identities of Yugoslavian partisans who were helping the Allies. In addition to evacuating Allied airmen, like the 500 who were lifted out in the famous Operation Halyard, the ACRU program also featured night flights dropping supplies of every different kind to the partisans to aid their fight in driving the Axis forces out of Yugoslavia. We've heard about how Mr. Austin, in control of a B-24 that was dangerously low on fuel, saw a break in the clouds and took the bomber down into a muddy cornfield on December 2nd, 1944. It would be 88 days until his rescue came on March 1st, 1945. So 88 days. How much did you weigh when you crash landed?
I was probably about 165, and I went down to about 140 before we left. Because the food was not very much protein, or no green vegetables, no tomatoes, no corn, nothing like that. It was just a sort of a soup-like stuff from barley. Yeah, barley soup most of the time.
Were you aware at the time? Did they tell you how your rescue came about? Do you know anything about that?
I don't know what caused them to send the airplanes in. They sent two planes in to pick us up. Because by then we had about 75 guys that had escaped from prisons up in Maribor, on the border of Yugoslavia and Austria. Maribor prison. They had several people that escaped. They hiked at night and hid in caves during the day and came down to where we were. I don't know how they found us.
But somehow they got the word to an American airbase, and they sent two C-47s to pick y'all up.
I think the C-47s were South African pilots. I don't know where they came from.
So is this something you knew was going to happen in advance, or was this the best surprise?
It was a surprise.
So tell me about that. What happened that day? This was
the major in charge of the British group radioed to 15th Air Force that we were ready to be picked up if possible. So they made arrangements because the weather changed. The weather got better in March, and set these planes in. And they took us out, no parachutes on the board of the ship, so that was scary. Yeah. Flying across the Adriatic without parachutes, and then landing at Bari, Italy. Then they sent us back by truck to our own base. Hard to believe it was 70 years ago.
Yeah, and hard to imagine for the rest of us what that must feel like, because I'm sure there had to be days during those 3 months where you wondered if you were ever going to get back to America again, ever going to see your family again.
Yeah, it was always a question in your mind what was going to happen, how we were going to get back, if we got back.
Have you ever thought about what would have happened if those C-47s didn't come, if you had to wait there a couple more months until Germany surrendered?
That would have been quite a wait. That would have been almost 2 months, because it was May 8th of 45, the Germans surrendered. Yeah. It was a strange experience. I don't think I've ever talked about it before.
Really?
I'm sure of it. I've never talked about it.
Well, I'm sure it's got to be hard looking back to remember those emotions that you felt, but can you put that into words, what that moment felt like to land back in Italy and know that this nightmare was over?
Well, it sure was a good feeling. They sent us to hospitals for 3 or 4 days to fatten us up. Then they were still using DDT, so we had to put DDT in our hair to kill the lice, because the lice were all over our bodies. We slept on straw. Didn't have the foresight to make hammocks. I don't know why, but we never thought of it. We should have. Somebody should have.
Was there a thought or a focal point or maybe faith that helped you keep believing you were going to get out of that during those tough days?
Yeah, I'm surprised that we did have a pretty strong faith. particularly when the huge hole opened up in the clouds, I knew that somebody was watching out for us.
But then almost 3 months later, when you're still stuck in Yugoslavia and you're starving and losing all this weight and you're miserable, where does the faith or the hope come from then?
Oh, I think just the camaraderie between us. And I was talking about home and our hometowns. I learned a lot about the hometowns of the other fellows. We had one from Illinois, one from Kentucky, two from Ohio, two from Texas, one from Mississippi.
Have you ever gotten together with any of those guys since the war?
I tried to find Bill Montgomery from Kentucky, but I haven't been able to locate him. I think a good number of them might be deceased. The navigator, Erwin Keebler, he spoke perfect German, lived in a German area in Ohio, I guess. George Davis was from Garland, Texas. He was a short little fellow. I don't know why they ever made a bomber pilot out of him. He could hardly reach the pedals.
Well, tell me about the moment. This is always fascinating to me. Guys who have had to live in the absence of freedom or in that uncertainty of not knowing if you're ever going to get back again. It always seems like a pretty memorable moment when they taste freedom again or when they see their family again. Do you remember when you first saw your family or spoke to them?
I didn't see my family till quite late in 1946. Yeah, we discharged. Yes, I had, yeah. And then we drove all the way to Los Angeles, November 46. So that was quite a bit later.
Had you spoken to your mother on the phone or anything?
Yes, I had, yeah.
Did she give you any taste of what that had been like for her, not knowing what happened to you?
Yeah, they all felt kind of left out of it because there was a big gap in communications, a real big gap. So they had to rely on the War Department letters and so forth.
Was it emotional to see your family again?
Well, I'll say it was, yeah, so much so. 1941, I first met my real dad, February 1941. On my way back to Tacoma to graduate from high school. That's the first time I ever met him. That was strange, meeting my dad for the first time. He was from southern Georgia. Well, he went from the Army into Coast Guard down at Long Beach, came back from Alaska, and went across the street and signed up for the Coast Guard. Then he retired lieutenant commander. He was on all board those landing ships in the South Pacific, all the ones into those islands, Guadalcanal, Tarawa, so forth.
You both had some stories to share after the war then. So you came back, went to L.A. City College, met a beautiful young lady named Sylvia. You're still married 67 years later, three children, now your grandpa. Have you ever stopped and thought, boy, if that last mission went a little different or the 3 months that followed went a little different, none of those people would be here?
That's right. It never would have happened. Yeah, well, I've had a beautiful family, three children, two boys and a girl. Yeah. Sylvia's my life. She made my life. Without her, it was nothing. A lot of people don't believe me, but we never had a serious, drag-down argument. Never had any hate or anything of that sort.
What's your secret?
Just love and be loved, yeah. I love Sylvia more than I love life.
You talked about the different guys on your crew and how they were from different parts of the country. And especially with that time you had in Yugoslavia where you're not flying and you guys are around each other all the time, I'm sure you developed a pretty strong impression. What do you think those of us who weren't alive then need to know now about the kind of men and women who were serving our country at that time?
Well, I think most people were pretty dedicated to the war effort and other things were set aside. I think the camaraderie that we had helped us through it. Like, it had a lot to do with it, the camaraderie.
Was it because you all believed in what you were doing or what the goal was?
Right. It's an important thing to win the war.
Did you understand at the time the magnitude of the threat that Nazi Germany posed? I mean, did you understand how severe that was?
Didn't understand an awful lot of it. In fact, we weren't told about the concentration camps that the Jewish were persecuted. We didn't know anything about that. I don't know why.
Knowing about it now, I imagine it gives you some pride to know that you had a hand in defeating that regime.
Oh, yeah. The Nazis were the world's worst. They lost a lot of Germans in World War II. The Russians did, too. Do you know how many we lost?
400,000.
406,000.
More than 60 million worldwide died. died during that time period. You mentioned that number, 406,000. If you end up going on this Central Valley Honor Flight to Washington, D.C., you'll see the National World War II Memorial and gold stars representing that number. Were any of those people you knew? Did you lose any friends during the war?
Yes, I did. I lost some pilot friends. Well, most of those that the United States lost are buried in France and Belgium and Germany. That's a lot of people. Vietnam was about 62,000. Korea was about 55,000. I don't know about Grenada and some of these others.
But you know those numbers, and I have a feeling that that means something to you. The names behind those numbers. How do you feel about those who gave their lives during World War II while you were serving?
I often think about them and the courage that they exemplified. There was a lot of camaraderie between the troops.
What would you say with regard to your service in the Army Air Corps? What were you most proud of?
Hard to say, other than the fact that we got some of those decorations, particularly the Presidential Unit Citation for the factory in Munich.
And you said the plane, the B-24, that you crash-landed in Yugoslavia in that muddy cornfield, that the partisans helped you hide it in a grove of trees?
They cut the trees and then laid them up against the ship. I've got the pictures here somewhere, but I have to look for them.
All right, we'll hunt those down. We'll post those online at hometownheroesradio.com. But so they hide the plane there, and you said the Germans tried to bomb it a few times?
They tried to bomb it. They were very precise. They came over exactly noon and tried to bomb it. They never hit it. There's all kinds of bomb craters. I have pictures of those bomb craters.
You think that plane's still there?
I have a feeling they must have burned it. Probably somebody opened the petcocks and the wings and let what little gas was left. Probably burned it.
While you were there, or you mean you're just guessing since?
Later. I think it was later somebody burned it. I know it never flew out of there. That was a good ship. Oh, I loved it.
Did it have any nose art or a special name or anything?
We had a red heart on the nose. Yeah, the squadron had a red heart. But we didn't put any name on it. We didn't put any name on it like some of them did. Particularly the people like the ones that had Betty Grable on their ship.
Sure.
We didn't have anything like that.
Well, before I forget, I just want to say thank you for serving our country. Thank you for telling us a little bit about it. Is there anything else you think we need to know?
Can't think of anything, Paul. I'm surprised that I remember dates like I did. I can remember back to 4 years of age on dates. For some reason or other, the brain must have it.
God gave you a good one. What would you say that you're most thankful for?
As far as the war, I think the camaraderie that we had, caring for each other. But then, of course, the family was eventually more valuable.
And they'll be happy, but I'm sure not surprised to hear that. Bob Austin, 93 years old. What a unique story he has. Check out the photos then and now on the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. Or better yet, greet Bob and about 70 other World War II veterans when they return from their honor flight to Washington, D.C. That'll be the evening of October 21st at the former Castle Air Force Base in Atwater, California. We're out of time on this edition of Hometown Heroes. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.